This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here on this Wednesday morning, December 4th. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Duff Martin, a teacher in Eau Claire who's also on the national board of the NEA, speaking on behalf of teachers' unions and educators everywhere with reaction to the overturning of Act 10 and Scott Walker's war on public schools and on teachers. Then at 7:30, we will talk to the superintendent in the Hudson School District, as well as a school board member, about some decisions that have to be made after a referendum there last month was turned down by voters. Do they fine-tune things and ask again in April, or do they make the big cuts that might be required? So, again, we'll have more about that coming up at about 7:30. Todd Alba along the way as well. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us formally, we did get a note on the text line, and you can text us here at 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or you can text. It was a very basic message here on the text line. Sports on, radio off. So whoever called us from Aquanago to text us that whenever we talk about sports, they turn the radio off. Are we going to confuse you in a couple of minutes here talking about the Packers, but somebody singing the national anthem? Does that cross the line? I don't know. So
I got to say, the show with commercials is on for an hour and 45, right? About an hour and 45 with all commercials and everything?
Something like that.
Yeah, I'd say in that hour and 45, you and I speak about sports maybe for 1.5 to 2 minutes over the entirety of the show.
I know. We have to stop that. How dare we keep people entertained when there's weather to get to? Brittany Merlot is here to tell us. There's cold fronts, and then there's cold fronts, and there's some that just knock on the door, and some kick the door in, and this one appears to be the latter, Ms. Merlot.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot ahead of us today. So, like you said, the door is going to be kicked in, and it's already going to start this morning. So, high temperatures in northwest Wisconsin, you're hitting them right now and throughout probably the next few hours. Same story goes into central and southern Wisconsin. You'll hit your highs late morning before everything crashes and plummets. Those winds are already feisty, gusting around 20, 30 miles per hour throughout the state. They're going to start to gust around 40 miles per hour. And this, of course, is going to bring in some blustery, brutal cold temperatures where we're going to slide to the single digits to near zero overnight. And then you put the wind chill on top of that. It's probably really going to be feeling more like near 20 below by early tomorrow morning. And then we're still stuck in the cold. But before we get into all of that, it's going to snow too. We've got that lake effect snow machine turning right back on. So a winter storm warning starts into Iron and Vilas County at 9 a.m. That lasts through tomorrow morning. And then there's also a winter weather advisory into Ashland, where they're looking at, in those areas, anywhere from 3 to 7 inches. And just a little bit further north, they're looking at around 10 inches of snowfall. So it's going to be hitting hard, hard, hard up north and east. And then, of course, we are going to see some scattered snow showers working their way through the rest of the state this afternoon, too. This cold front is brutal, and it is going to spark up some light snow. So less than an inch for everybody else. But up north, they're getting hit pretty hard. Tomorrow, we stay cold. The sun comes out, but, I mean, wind chills on top of it. Feeling like the teens all day.
Ouch. No, yeah. Oof.
Oof.
Yikes. Yeah, there's something is the right reaction to all this. Just ugh, maybe. At least in the areas where, again, it's going to get cold and windy. What, you know, half an inch of snow that just pelts you in the face, but you don't get anything out of it. You can't snowmobile or ski or anything like that. So, not the best. You know,
no.
10 inches of snow in an area that wants to get the sleds going. That's great. Bring it on. We'll take it.
I agree.
Brittany's here for it. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy and 25 degrees, a dusting of snow, enough to get the roads slippery at the overpasses and intersections. The more slippery roads are north of the 29 corridor. He was out salting sidewalks and parking lots, has a doctor's appointment in Shawano today. Got a new battery for his car. Best advice, check your vehicle's battery when they are over 4 years old and get them replaced.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it really comes in handy. And now, I mean, jumper cables are you know, just a thing that people should always have in their car. Or I now have one of those charger dealies. It's mostly for the boat, but it comes in handy for the car, too, where you can just attach that. You've charged up the battery ahead of time. You hit a button, starts your car right up. Definitely worth it. Or anything else, Brittany, that you would throw in your winter car kit.
Well, I want that, first of all, but I don't. So I have blankets, and I have a shovel, and I have cat litter for all of the...
You can't start your car with a blanket. Happens.
Right, no, yeah. And my car's getting old, too. So.
Brittany, I will send you the link. I'll send you the link for that charger. It's
Thank you.
I've used it 3 times and 2 times on other people's cars. It is worth it, and it's, like, approved by, like, AAA tow guys.
It's also approved by Tony and Ashlyn, who puts on YouTube. I've got a charger in my truck and my wife's car.
Yep.
It's essential.
Yep.
All right.
So there you go. We're getting the ball rolling so people can not be stranded like that anymore. Brittany, thank you so much.
Have a
wonderful day.
You too.
All right. It is 7:12 right now on this Wednesday morning. And over at Civic Media, our friends there have their website at civicmedia.us. And I realized one of the things I hadn't talked about lately was that in the upper right corner, there is a tab that's marked store. And at the store, you can get merch, all kinds of shirts. Looks like there's now a Civic Media Deer Hunters Roundup hoodie from the folks up in Park Falls there who have had another successful Deer Hunters Roundup of programming. You can get the hoodie, you can get t-shirts. I love the one that says beer and cheese and football and radio. And all about Civic Media. Another is a state map showing all the places where you can find Civic Media stations. There's a Civic Media hat. There are station-specific t-shirts as well. Head over to civicmedia.us to see what's for sale there. Might be something handy to put on your Christmas list or to give to somebody. And a reminder that you can get our newsletter at Up North News. Sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a cookie theme going today. We talked in the last hour about those peanut butter cookies with the big old Hershey Kiss set in the middle, but more about where to get some of Wisconsin's best cookies and much more in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. So, Greg, the national anthem thing that I was referencing with the Packer game, this just came out of thin air for me. It's like, here's the headline. Actor Craig T. Nelson to sing the national anthem for the Packers-Bears game ahead of a new movie release. So he's starring in a new movie about the Packers, and for it is going to sing the national anthem, I did not associate Craig T. Nelson with national anthem singing, or I'm sorry, with singing. At all.
Yeah, I'm very hesitant about, and for all those who are turning your radio off right now as we talk about sports, I get it right now, but boy, oh boy, let me tell you,
here's the thing. I mean, I love him in Young Sheldon and now George and Mandy's First Marriage the show's called.
Yep.
And he does like to play guitar in there, but it's kind of as the, you know, the amateur, who wants to have a garage band. So the guy might actually be a really good singer. I've never seen him in anything that would lend me to think that. But he stars in a forthcoming movie called Green and Gold as a fourth generation dairy farmer whose farm is on the brink of foreclosure. He and his granddaughter wager everything on the Packers to win the Super Bowl, literally betting the farm to save what's dear to them. The independent film was shot in northern Wisconsin, including Door County and Green Bay, in 2021. It will be released in theaters on January 31st. It's being presented by Culver's in support of their Thank You Farmers project. There's additional support from NFL Films and from the Packers. Charlie Behrens makes an appearance in the movie. It's an award winner. This movie's already won the Jimmy Stewart Legacy Award and the Narrative Official Selection Audience Choice Award at the Heartland International Film Festival. And it was the Audience Award winner for Narrative Feature at the Austin Film Festival. So this is the first time I'm hearing that there's this family-friendly film about the Green Bay Packers.
Me
that's
too.
Going to be coming.
I'm just hoping they're not betting the farm in the 80s. I just, you know, if they're betting the farm on the 80s Packers, they're done. They are no, done. Forrest Gregg would be a great coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. So now in terms of Craig T. Nelson singing before the Packers-Bears game, we can't tell you when that's going to be yet. Because it's in the last game of the regular season, and if you've noticed lately, the past couple of years, thanks to this thing called flex scheduling, nobody knows when any of the games are. They'll decide that week.
Yeah.
It could be on January 4th. It could be on January 5th.
Ooh.
It could be an afternoon game. It could be a primetime game. How do you plan for that if you're like a season ticket or you got tickets to that week and you're just like, stand by. We'll give you a couple days notice when to show up.
I have a feeling that a lot of those Packer fans and those Bears fans who will be going and be like, you know, their schedule's like, hey, boss, I need January 4th to 7th, afternoon to evening off.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they'll make
for a 3-hour football game.
Yeah, they'll make it work.
Yes, need a big window for that, please.
Yeah,
and hey, if you get it, great. More
yeah.
more power to you.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're talking sports, click,
click. Welcome back Bucks. To Pat and Greg's Sports Report.
The Bucks beat Detroit last night, 128-107. It was part of that NBA in-season cup tournament, and the Bucks clinched their group. They won all four games. They move on to the quarterfinals. That will be next Tuesday in Milwaukee when they host Orlando. But in the meantime, the regular season games resume tonight with the Bucks hosting Atlanta. And the Badger men's basketball team was in action last night, the Big Ten opener. The 11th-ranked Badgers lost to Michigan 67-64. First loss of the season for the Badgers, who fall to 8-1. But they've got to turn things right around because they are traveling over to Milwaukee to take on 5th-ranked Marquette. That's at the Fiserv Forum, and that's coming up this Saturday at 12:30. Coverage begins at 11:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and you can learn more on the Civic Media app as well. And again, remember, the Packers have a Thursday night game again this week. They are in Detroit, pregame at 5:00 on a couple of Civic Media stations as well. We'll talk to Ron Martin about overturning Act 10 coming up next. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That is one of the few Beach Boys songs where Dennis Wilson was the lead singer, the Beach Boys drummer, who was born this day in 1944, passed away in 1983. Reminder that if you're watching us on social media, Facebook or YouTube, and you want to give us a question or a comment, just head to the comment section. We see it there, and we may put it up on screen and respond to it as well anytime throughout the show. In this part of the show, we're going to be talking to Duff Martin from Eau Claire. He's an Eau Claire teacher on leave right now as he works with the National Education Association. He's on the executive committee, which keeps him plenty busy advocating for education and for educators, not the least of which is reacting to the news that Act 10 was more or less overturned by a Dane County judge this week. Ron Duff Martin, how are you? And where are you? You're in Rhode Island, you said, this week.
Yes, doing very well. Thank you, Pat. Yes, in Rhode Island for the National Council of Urban Education Associations. So our largest locals in the union for NEA are gathering to do some training and to do some socializing and some growing.
So you heard the ruling, you heard about the ruling from the judge in Dane County and the legal basis for overturning and not... The judge saying, look, this thing is so intertwined in such a way, you basically have to throw out the entire law. You can't, like, keep, you know, parts of it. It just doesn't work that way. And we talked yesterday about basically the sham premise that the whole law is based on. But when you heard all of this, I'm curious as to your first reaction.
Well, you know, at first I was very excited, obviously. This is a long, long overdue ruling, but I was very excited about it and the fact that somebody finally recognized that the law really was meant to, you know, try to take down the union and the power the union had in electing pro-public education candidates. And so it's long overdue, Pat, and I was very excited. I know we have still an uphill battle with this, but we're in it to win it. And we've worked hard for the last, I don't know how many, you know, how many years it's been. You know,
13 years and how many tens of thousands of people who marched at the state capitol, yeah, who recognized the unfairness of it from the get-go. And look, I know sometimes the wheels of justice turn slowly, but it really tells you the kind of hurdles that you faced, that it took this long for a court in some way, shape, or form to see, you know, the unconstitutionality of the law. Now, obviously, there's going to be, you know, appeals ahead. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has promised it. Of course, Scott Walker had to put his two cents in. So things are far from a done deal. But where do you see the potential for this in the long run if things continue to go well?
Well, I think there's a lot of potential for possibilities with this. I think one of the areas that many of our rural school districts are experiencing are teacher shortages. And I think once we reinstate some of the aspects of collective bargaining that protect employees from wage discrimination, but also allows for individuals to see a future in education. They see the opportunity to be able to move up in a salary schedule that don't exist in some school districts. Opportunities for other things that make the job appealing to individuals. I think we're going to see some of those hard to fill positions become filled. I think also we're going to see people happier in the profession. When you have a voice at the table, when you have the opportunity to give input, you know, it just makes the workplace a much more exciting place to be at. As far as the uphill battle, yes, it is going to be an uphill battle, but, you know, I think we have a lot of things on our side, and we've worked real hard to get to this point. It just didn't happen overnight. It was very strategic. We knew we weren't going to legislate Act 10 back, or out of there, and get collective bargaining back. We knew we had to litigate it, and that was our avenue. But litigating it meant we also had to make sure that we had a Supreme Court that was not going to be bought and paid for by the other side, that it would be a Supreme Court that would listen and really actually apply, you know, the Constitution and the rule of law, etc. So it was a long, long, hard-fought battle. So we've got a lot more work to do, but excited about it.
Oh, yeah. It is a refreshing change that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is no longer a subsidiary of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, at least until April 1st, which I imagine, given that Education Allies have been plenty active already in trying to change the political landscape out there, I imagine that enthusiasm level, believe it or not, is going to be ramped up even higher as a result of this decision when you look at how pivotal that April 1st Supreme Court race is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think on both sides, Pat, to be honest with you, I think that those on the Republican side, particularly Robin Voss and others, you know, they're going to look at this is their way to be able to curtail some of the things that have been happening, particularly the redrawing of maps. I mean, that was this Supreme Court. Again, I think they're going to invest a lot. They're going to put a lot. This is going to be a very expensive Supreme Court race. It's going to be a very tough one. But like I said, we're in it to win it. And we're just not going to back down. This is too important to us.
And then I just want to come back briefly on the point that you made. What really changes here is that Act 10 limited negotiating pretty much to wages, which, of course, were capped at the inflation rate. So there really wasn't much to negotiate. There's all this flexibility now with what I guess the shorthand version would be working conditions. But that kind of flexibility is where you think there can be some real strength in fixing what is ailing some of education in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in all my years as a local president in Eau Claire and having the opportunity to be a part of the bargaining team and do bargaining in the Eau Claire Area School District, you know, never in all my years as a union leader did we ever want to bankrupt the district. That really, I mean, we had the mediation arbitration law in there that took care of all the wage part of it. It was some of those other pieces, the language pieces that really really were important to our members, the number of sick days we get, et cetera. You know, all that kind of stuff is incredibly important to the working conditions for our employees. And it's a tough 9 months when you're a teacher. And so being able to have the kind of working conditions that help our educators is critically important.
It is a level of respect that has been long overdue, dating back to the Scott Walker years, that we see finally slowly being restored in Wisconsin. Duff Martin, it is always great to talk to you. Safe travels, and we'll continue to follow matters, especially between now and April, but all the time with you as an education advocate. Thanks, Duff, for the time.
Yep. Thanks, Pat. Good to see you.
You bet. When we come back, we'll talk to folks in the Hudson School District about the fork in the road faced after a referendum last month. That's on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We could have kept playing Graham Nash's version of this, but this was a children's choir in San Francisco singing it to him recently as we head into our homeroom segment at 7:35 on this Wednesday morning, December 4th on Up North News Radio. We spoke with Duff Martin in our last segment here on the optimism that educators are feeling with the court overturning Act 10. But Act 10 was just one step in creating an environment that has left public school districts around Wisconsin in dire financial straits and needing to go to voters repeatedly for referendums because state legislators have failed to keep up their end of the bargain when it comes to educating our kids. That has meant operating referendums, not the kind you're used to, where somebody wants to build a new gym or a computer lab or an entire building or anything like that. This is just to maintain current expenses because state aid hasn't kept up with the pace of inflation for 16 years in a row. In many school districts, the voters continue to approve these referendums. They agree to raise their own taxes in lieu of the state legislature falling short. But obviously that doesn't happen in every district, and it leads to some difficult decisions that have to be made. And we are very honored that a couple of folks from the Hudson School District join us to talk a bit about what the path ahead looks like for them. That would be the superintendent. Nicolette joins us, as does Megan Rosowski, who is a member of the Hudson School District School Board. Nick and Megan, good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Obviously, we'd all love better circumstances to be talking. There could be academic awards, there could be a state football championship, whatever the case may be. But sometimes, life gets in the way, and that includes deciding what you do about a challenging budget when the voters, at least in this instance, said, well, we don't want to approve this. The fork in the road seems to be, do you essentially make adjustments and decide to come back in April, perhaps, for another referendum? Or do you say, well, let's put these cuts in place? Nick, how would you describe the process that you're all going through right now with that fork in the road? And maybe I missed an option that's in there as well.
No, that's great. Right now we're in the process of looking at, what do cuts look like to make ends meet. We've been cutting the last 2 years. Since our last field operational, we cut about $2 million out of our operating budget. But now when you start to look at what those deficits start to look like 2, 3, 4 years down the road, the cuts are going to be much more substantial. And so now the conversation with the board is, do they want to go to referendum again? And when would they like to go to referendum, for how much? And then also, what information do we think we still need to get out to the public to make them understand kind of the situation that we're in right now? So right now we're in that process of identifying with a lot more specificity what a lack of revenue or incoming new revenue means to the programming in our district.
Can I ask you then, Nick, give me an example of a cut, of a difficult decision that's already been made, that's already had an impact on the district. And then we'll talk, I'll ask Megan then what other kind of cuts could follow. But can you, again, backwards looking, talk about the decisions you've had to make already?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've cut our administrative staff some of our administrative staff, our student services programming. So that helps kids with a lot of different special needs and things along those lines. We've reduced an elementary principal. We've reduced about 20 elementary class sections over the last 10 years as our enrollment has gone down. We have reduced other supervisory positions. We've reduced hourly positions. We have just really tried to look at everything in the district. As we've had some decline in enrollment, we've tried to right size the district. Decline in enrollment is linear. Cuts aren't quite as linear because you have to allow things to go down at a certain rate before you can make a cut. And so that's some of the challenges that we're facing. So we've made cuts across the board. There's been kind of no area that's really been spared at this point, but we've tried to keep the programming intact the best we can.
Yeah, the way that it's always been explained to me, for example, is declining enrollment. Maybe instead of 40 kids on the bus, there's 33 kids on the bus, and you lose that much in aid, but the price of gas doesn't change for that bus still having to run its route. And so many other examples. And Megan, I imagine you did not run for school board to be making cuts to education or decisions like this, and yet this is what the whole board is facing right now.
Yeah, it's not easy. I have a daughter in 4K and a daughter in fourth grade in our school district. And I think, the board that came before me and the leadership in the district has done a great job of trimming around the edges in a way that maybe students and families aren't noticing it. So Hudson School District has sort of been able to pull a rabbit out of a hat over and over in these hard situations. But as we look to projected deficits that would be 8 million by 2028-29, there's no rabbit that big, right? Like the cuts would be felt by our students. So it's very difficult to find ways that we could balance a budget that would have the least amount of impact on the quality of programming and extracurriculars for all of our students and for our staff.
And there's nobody in a position like yours that has ever tried to be overly dramatic about this, has just tried to be upfront and honest with the taxpayers and with the parents and the teachers and the students. And so I ask you that in that same vein, that this is not to be alarmist at all. But Megan, what types, how bad could this get? What kinds of cuts might the board have to consider?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot of different things at a recent work session. We have great class sizes here in our elementary schools. It's amazing. It's a great student to teacher ratio. You know, that's something that might have to be explored. You know, I think as a board, we really all agreed the last thing we want to touch is the breadth of and depth of the educational and extracurricular opportunities for our students. Because you don't really save that much money by getting rid of a fall musical every year. But what do you lose for your students for their opportunities? So the, you know, I think Nick will have better stats, but, you know, 80 some percent of the district's budget is staffing. So it's very nerve wracking to think about how this, there's no way this wouldn't impact our kids and our staff if we have to deal with budget deficits this large.
Nick, do you want to take it from there and maybe have you looked at what other districts have had to face that find themselves in situations as tough as yours as you weigh the potential options?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what you're seeing across the state of Wisconsin is you're seeing districts that are having to close buildings. You're seeing districts that are having increased class sizes, do things along those lines. I think those are very real possibilities as we move forward. Nobody wants to be the cut. You know, nobody wants to have their program cut, or nobody wants to have their building closed. But as Megan said, we're about 75 to 80% staffing costs in our district budget. And then about another 10 to 15% of our budget is fixed costs, utilities, transportation, turning the lights on type of things. And so when you talk about our discretionary spending in an $80 million budget, it's only, somewhere between $4 and $6 million. And so there's not a lot of cutting that doesn't involve cutting staff.
Can we talk for a second about now, if you decide to go back to the voters, we can talk about the referendum you just held and one that you might have framed in this way, the cost to taxpayers, because I certainly put myself in the category with other education advocates of saying, you know, these things are a bargain by and large. We're talking about, you know, how many dollars, you know, per year, per, you know, $1,000 valuation on a house to continue to have an excellent school district. Nick, from a just a pure dollars and cents standpoint, what were you asking for in November, and did it seem to be out of line with what other districts would pay for a quality education?
No, I mean, it's because we've tried to manage our mill rate and the tax impact that things would have on our homeowners and our taxpayers. We've been aggressively prepaying some of our debt off that we have from building debt and things like that. And so what we'd be able to do is offset the increase, operational referendum, by decreasing the amount we're prepaying on debt. And so what we were looking at is basically one penny on the mill rate, which would equate to about a dollar for every $100,000 worth of property value. So for somebody that owns a $500,000 home, we were asking for about a $5 increase in their property taxes.
Wow. And Megan, as a parent and other parents and homeowners in the district, I mean, look, nobody's a big fan of their property tax bill when it comes in, but you feel like you're kind of in a bit in the sales and marketing business of saying, look, there's a lot of numbers on that property tax bill, but look what you get for this particular number.
Well, Nate, a little bit, because I think it's really confusing, right? And I think when you go to vote, it says the Hudson School District is asking for $5 million to exceed, you know, the revenue cap. you know, ongoing. And so you see a number like $5 million, and that doesn't sound like $5 to a property owner. So it, you know, it was a very noisy election, and we tried really hard to get as much information out. The school district leadership did a great job, a lot of meetings, getting out to different meetings, but, you know, it was hard to break through. And so I think, I don't know how we can better get the information to people, because we kind of all live in information overload right now, I think. So breaking through was hard. That's a big question as we think about next steps.
Yeah, and I know it reminds me of decisions made by the legislature to restrict when school districts could have a referendum. But as a result, then you get caught up in whether it's the presidential election that we just had or this very big state Supreme Court election that's going to be just ahead of us. And when we talk about the funding component as well, Nick, I wonder, we talk a lot about the voucher school programs here and the not exactly transparent way that the legislature funds voucher schools. And in some ways, it makes it look like, you know, that's money that's going to the public school district when it's really not. Is there an approximate level of funding that the Hudson District is losing to the state's voucher school program?
Yeah, we lose somewhere between $1 and $2 million a year to the voucher system, but yet we don't. We lose that in state aid. So it used to be it came in on an aid and levy worksheet that would show this is how much of your state aid is being deducted for the different voucher programs in the state. And then basically what would happen is you'd have to tax back in order to get that revenue back. So you'd have to tax your property taxpayers. Well, now that's kind of been buried in. It's been actually taken off the state aid amount before we get the aid and levy worksheet. So it's a little bit harder to calculate than it was. But I think the thing that people have to understand is, I don't like paying taxes any more than anybody else. But there's just some things you have to pay for. And, if you want, you know, quality of life type items, good schools, good roads, good, just services in the state, it costs money. And when the state, legislature is telling you, hey, we're reducing property taxes or we're reducing your tax bill, they're really not. All they're basically doing is saying, they're not going to raise your taxes, but they know that they're forcing then the local municipalities to have to raise your taxes. So they know that they're going to be raising taxes. It's just not them on the hook of doing it. And that's a real challenge for us.
Yeah, it's a matter of kicking the can, and it's something that we continue to try to explore here on the program. Nick Ouellette is the superintendent in the Hudson School District. Megan Rosowski is on the Hudson School Board. Thank you both very much for your time, and best wishes to you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Todd Alba is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Again, birthday today, 65th birthday for Bodine's bassist Bob Griffin, born in Waukesha. This day in 1959, happy birthday to him, and always good to hear a Bodine song now and then. Todd Alba, the Todd Father, joins us now, as appropriately nicknamed by Tony up there in Ashland. Todd Father, how are you?
I am well, guys. Thank you so very much for asking on a beautiful Wednesday morning here. How about you guys?
Well, it's gray. I wouldn't say it's beautiful, really? But it's going to get windy. It's going to get snowy. It's going to, well, what am I saying? It's December in Wisconsin.
Right. You know? What do you expect?
It is what it is, you know? So you are, I believe you are at the Palatial Alba Estate, somewhere in the Tony neighborhood of,
I have a train that goes from my place. I'm not sure how Tony it is.
You have access to transportation right there from the house.
There you go.
If I'm a hobo, there's no actual people, you know.
I don't think anybody could pull it off quite like you could. We just got to put tie a sack to the end of a stick, put it over your shoulder. I think you could play the part. Absolutely. Yes.
It would be fun to just hop on in nicer weather. I could do the show and just hop on the train and go.
You know, it would be absolutely on brand for you.
Yes, it would. That would be. Okay. Of all the ways that Todd has traveled the state, we found a new mode of transportation here. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, thank you. It was busy, lots of traveling here in the state, but you know, saw family and friends. That was good. Did some help with cooking on Thursday. Went to the disastrous Badger fickle fleck debacle on Friday, and then on Saturday I helped Mom cut the Christmas tree down and came back to Madison on Sunday. So busy but good. How about you guys?
Very good, nice and relaxing. It was great. It was definitely needed. And can we please start the next one now? I'm ready for the Christmas break too. Let's roll right into that. Our friend Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, author of The Recombobulation Area, put up a very interesting post yesterday about Act 10 being overturned by a Dane County judge. Mm. He posits this question. If this Act 10 case goes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, should Justice Brian Hagedorn recuse himself? After all, he was Scott Walker's chief counsel, and he played a role in drafting the law. And to which the answer in normal times would have been, what are we talking about? Of course you would. We do not live in normal times, so I cannot safely make that prediction, Todd.
Oh, I mean, I think Dan raises obviously a valid and good point, but I think for your larger point, Pat, I think that where we're at today is a
rules
country
don't
and
matter.
A state.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, largely they don't, and I think that it's going to be, you know, look, I worked for the only Republican in the state Senate that voted against Act 10, Dale Schultz. My entire family are educators, so I am no fan whatsoever of Act 10. Do I wish it would be reversed? Yes. But number one, this is a Dane County judge doing this. We are far from having Act 10 overturned because it's going to go to appeals court and then most likely to a state Supreme Court. And what I think the Democrats, yes, I want Act 10 overturned, but I think that politically in today's environment that we're in, maybe Democrats should be careful what they wish for, because I think this could now very well become the predominant issue in the state Supreme Court race in the spring. And let's say that the liberals hang on to the court. Republicans will certainly pass another version of it. Governor Evers will certainly veto it. And the next gubernatorial election in 2 years will also be about Act 10. And in today's world of media, it is much easier for Republicans to say, to your last guest point, look how much money we saved you, versus look what the outcome of Act 10 actually does. So I want Act 10 overturned. Hagedorn probably should recuse himself. We all know he won't. I shouldn't say it that way, but my guess is he won't. I don't know. Those are my thoughts.
Mr. Bach has some input on the matter here.
I guess, and in the long run, it's not going to make much of a difference because people don't really care. But if it really, they're just talking about how much money Act 10 has, quote unquote, saved the state recently. They haven't been talking about it for over a dozen years. Now they're saying it's saved all this money. And they don't really also have the information. I can't remember who tweeted it, but when asked about the details on the savings, she responded with leadership. It's like, that's not an answer.
No, right. But they're so much more brazen now in giving smart alecky answers back to reporters rather than, you know, actually answering the question. They just go, oh, you're fake news.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer your question. And, you know, again, if people don't hold them accountable for it, it is tough. And Todd, I think your point is spot on, because I was thinking about this just in terms of going back to 2010 when I lost my legislative seat against somebody who's only, he was like a broken record. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to lower taxes.
Yep.
We're going to lower taxes. We're going to lower taxes. Running for Congress against a guy like, oh, we should lower taxes. As long as the predominant theme in America today is taxes are bad and government is bad, then yeah, if you frame the Supreme Court race and the next gubernatorial race like Democrats are tax and spenders, and if Democrats aren't willing to do more to say, you know, some of these taxes are good and government does a good thing when people run government. But as long as the consultants say, oh, don't talk like that, you know, it's going to be just as you outlined it.
There's no Democrats coming to me asking for advice, and that's fine. I guess my take would be that I think if it becomes the issue, I think what you have to set it up as do you like to go hunting and be safe out in the woods? Because this affects conservation wardens. All right. Do you think that all law enforcement should have the right to collectively? This is a law enforcement public safety question. How about your sanitation workers? I mean, don't just make it about public education, which again, I'm all for, but I think you have to frame it that it's much larger than public education.
Absolutely. All right. More with Todd Alba coming up at noon today. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, take care,
Greg,
guys.
Greg Bach is back in a couple of hours as well for Matinair on Air, so join him for that at 10 a.m. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.